There are a few things life has to offer that is a great above the rest. Good friends, good food, and a premium handmade cigar from F.K. Christian Pipe Company. All Just Measures Radio listeners get 10% off all singles and 15% off all boxes. And when you order a box, you will also get one of Natty's Selects free. That's right, with every box purchase, you get one of my hand-picked favorites along with 15%. This is a deal that cannot be beat. You can call or email Stacy via the link at Just Measures Radio or JustMeasuresCS.com. F.K. Christen, your premium cigar company. And yes, each one is rolled on the thighs of virgins south of the border.
Systems go.
Has led you to the Tinker's Shop here on Just Measures Radio. I welcome you. Please come in, sit down, have a seat. We all must remember that we are the library for those who come after us, and we must share our knowledge with those who need it.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be. Since I found serenity, but you can't take the sky from me.
Well, good evening, my friends. It's now Saturday evening, the 8th of March of 2014, and you are listening to The Tinker's Shop here on Just Measures Radio. As always, this is The Tinker, and welcome to all of you in the chat room, all of you who are listening in the podcasts out on the internet, and those of you who are listening in the future to the archives. Ah, yes, such a week, such a week. You may have heard me mention last night, Tinkerbell had to go in yesterday to have surgery done. The way she described it to me was that her and her doctors there at the hospital decided she had some extra parts that needed to get removed. So what it was is she had gallbladder removed yesterday. So she's home now, doing quite well. They cut her loose this morning between, between 9 and 10. So Yeah, the, what was it? They just had her there for a little over, 12 hours? So, like I said, you know, wasn't too bad. You know, she might actually be joining us here in the chat room tonight. I'm not sure. It all depends on, how she's feeling. Cause she's been, shall we say, fairly stiff and fairly sore today. So, anyhow, with that said, I should probably go ahead, as usual, and give the web address. And that would be out at our usual one, out at Arlinn, A-R-L-I-N-N, and then a hyphen, tower, T-O-W-E-R, .com, / capital T, and the rest in lowercase, Tinkers, you know, capital T-I-N, it's been a long week. Anyhow, it's out at Arlinn-tower.com / Tinkers_shop, and Tinker and Shop are both capitalized. So we'll give everybody a few seconds to get out there. And let's see here. Should probably go ahead and explain what we're going to be doing today. We're going to be talking about brewing tools. I know I probably should have done this before I went ahead and did the program last week on doing root beer, because I know I had mentioned a lot of these things beforehand back when we were, you know, doing our brewing 101 section. But I figured, no, this is the time. I'd better do this now before we got too far into everything. So go ahead and scroll down to near the bottom of the page here, and you'll see a link that says Brewing Tools. And over to the right, I just have, you know, Common Brewing Tools. So go ahead and click on that, and that will bring us to a new page here. And very simply titled, Brewing Tools. So let's go ahead here down to the, just a little bit here. And, again, like I said, you know, this is just, you know, common tools, you know, for brewing. And these can all be used in, like I've said before, for, brewing beer, making homemade sodas, or wine making. So, first thing we need to have is something to cook our fermentable, beverage in. And, like here, very simple thing, like I said before, probably everybody who's listening, probably everybody who's listening has used one of these in the past. It's just basically a stainless steel cooking pot. And what you'll want to use for brewing is either a 4 or 5 gallon one. This gives you enough room to have a decent amount of, in beer brewing, the sweet wort. Obviously, these brewing kettles come all the way from, you know, smaller ones that are, you know, down around the 1 gallon size, and they go on up from there. I've seen them as far up as probably about a 15 gallon one, which is pretty darn huge. But like I said, for our purposes, for home brewing, a 4 or 5 gallon one is about the right size to use. Okay, so with your brewing kettle, is what we're going to call it, when you're using that, one thing that you want to remember is once you've brewed things in it, you're going to have to clean it, you know, obviously, because quite often you'll get a little bit of, shall we say, a little bit of your starches, not your starches, your sugars. They might want to caramelize a little bit on the bottom, also known as burning on the bottom. Of course, you don't want to burn stuff on the bottom of these, you know, because that's going to ruin your whole batch. So you have to be real careful when you're heating it to bring things up to temperature. You got to keep stirring it every so often. So, but like I said, once you get through with all your process in brewing, you're going to want to clean this out and give you a couple cautions here. You don't want to use any sort of harsh abrasives, you know, things like, Ajax or, Bartender's Friend or anything else. Nothing that has a heavy duty grit in. What you're going to want to do here with this is basically, you know, soak them quite well. If necessary, you could use a soft scuffy pad, you know, like one of the plastic ones. But what you don't want to do is you'd never ever want to use steel wool or any sort of scraper in there that's metallic. Again, you can use a plastic scraper to work things loose, but don't ever use anything that can scratch up your inside of your brewing pot. Because if you scratch it up, you're going to be leaving an avenue for particles of food to be stuck down into the cracks. You could possibly get bacteria, stray yeast, stray molds, or whatever in there. And you just don't want to do that. Plus, another thing is stainless steel. Stainless steel is just basically, you know, it's steel with extra elements added to it. And what these extra elements are, the biggest one is they add some nickel to them. Sometimes they'll add a little bit of chrome. And the chrome itself, you know, will basically sit on the surface. And, yeah, chrome is good for you in, you know, super, super minor trace amounts in your diet. But you don't want to have a lot of it in there. Nickel is another one that's, well, nickel is basically a heavy metal. Not as heavy as lead or arsenic or any of these other ones. But still, you don't want to have excess in your diet. And if you have scratches, that opens it up to be able to corrode and, you know, release extra ones into what you're doing. Also, if it releases any extra metallic, you know, fragments, ions, whatever you want to call them, into your brew, you can end up with a metallic taste. So it's best just to treat the inside of these pots gently. You know, you got to make sure they're clean, obviously. But, the cleaner the better, but then again, you don't want to abuse the inside of it as well. Okay, next thing down that I've got here on the list, and that is a long-handled stainless steel spoon. This particular picture that's on the page here, most of these things that I'm going to show you, these are actual things I use. This is a picture of a pot that I have. Of course, it's a commercial photo of it, but I do have one pot just like that. The stainless steel spoon, that is actually the one I use. So it's it's just basically a long-handled spoon. That overall, that thing is probably, I'd say, close to 16 inches long. And again, it gets treated the same way as the stainless steel pot. They're washed carefully, gently, and I very thoroughly rinse them with hot water. Then I let them air dry. And, And then also before I use them, I'll actually take and I use a thing called it's basically like OxyClean. It's an oxygen-based cleaner. Some people also use a thing called Star San, and again, very similar. They basically have a highly concentrated oxygen base. You know, when you dissolve the stuff in the water for cleaning, it's basically like using a really concentrated hydrogen peroxide. Sterilizes surfaces extremely well. And let's see here. By the way, I should probably forewarn you here. I'll probably be doing a bunch of music tonight because, well, like I had said, this week has been kind of, shall we say, a busy week. What with Tinkerbell being somewhat ill all week. You know, I've been kind of distracted by that. We'll just put it that way. That, and also, my wife has been, well, she's been busy costuming another play. This time it's a musical, and they're going to be doing Oliver, so yeah, they've been busy working on that. And last but not least, I've also got drafted this week to put together a PC and software and whatnot for a new artist co-op she's joining. She volunteered me. they were saying, well, we need to have something here that we can use to work on and use their point of sale software that they had, but they needed a computer, so I got volunteered to put one together from the various parts I have sitting around here. So, anyway, I think I better just say, hold on just a moment here. Yeah, sorry about that. I had to stop the recording here for a second so I could go ahead and cough a little bit. It's been kind of been pushing myself a little bit this week. Don't need to be getting, flu bug or anything. It's been an elderberry extract week, so a couple tablespoons a day. Okay, so let's do this. We'll go ahead down here to the next section. And actually, what we can do here, I have here where it says a 4 to 6 gallon brewing bucket. And we're also going to be, can actually use these as a bottling bucket as well. So if you want to, go ahead and click on that image on the right side, and it's going to open that picture up in a new tab here in your browser. This gives us a little bit a larger image to view. Now this is a bucket that I've actually just recently got. I'm going to be making myself a new brewing bucket here, because I figured, well, best way to show how to have one of those is actually to do it. So this pail is actually released by Brewer's Best, and this is one that I picked up at a local brewing shop, and they call this the ale pail, which, if you've checked out various beers and whatnot, you'll know that it's a play on words, because you have a pale ale beer, which is a very light amber-colored beer. So, in this particular one, if you kind of look at it closer, you'll see that there's a hole down here, kind of left side near the bottom of the bucket. And that's where your spigot will go into. And over at the right, you'll have, you can see that it has markings on it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 gallon. And actually, you could probably put close to 7 gallons worth of liquid in this. But obviously, you don't want to do that. But you can easily fit 5 gallons in there, and you can possibly even kind of squeak it on up closer to 6. Of course, if you get 6 gallons of fermenting liquid in there, you're going to probably suffer a little bit of overflow or blow-off. But we'll get to that portion of here in a little bit. So let's go ahead and do this. Go ahead and look down here at the bottom of the photo. And the bottom of the photo here, you'll see kind of a plastic nut on the left side, a couple rings, and then you have a valve. And these are basically kind of in order of the way the thing gets constructed. To install the valve into a bucket, what you'll want to do is slide one of those rings on, which those are, I believe it's a white neoprene ring. You slide that onto the threaded portion of the valve body on the right side. Then what you do is it gets put through the hole that's in the bucket. That's a 3/4 inch diameter hole. And once you have, you know, the threaded portion shoved through into the bucket, you'll take the second ring, and that'll go ahead and you fit those over the threads. It's a tight fit, but you can get them on with no problems. You might have to turn it a little bit, but you can basically screw it on. And then the last thing you do is you take the nut that's on the left side here, you reach down inside of the bucket, and you just start turning it on. And, you know, obviously when it starts getting tight, the thing's gonna wanna start, you know, turning more. But what you can do at that point is just go ahead and hold your valve. I found that it kind of works to, you know, have the open end of the spigot, kind of facing towards you if you're left-handed. You reach down, you tighten the nut up pretty darn tight. You know, you don't have to get it squeaky tight where you can't turn it anymore, but, you know, tighten it down good and tight. And then what you can do at that point is just take that whole valve body, give it a quarter turn, and that'll squish your gaskets down in between there, and that should give you a good liquid tight seal. And at this point, you could actually go ahead and, you know, put a, you know, a couple gallons of water in the bucket and see if it does leak. If it does leak, you know, go ahead and, you know, empty the bucket out, get a hold of that nut, you know, turn it a bit tighter. And because basically what you want to do is you'll want to go ahead and squish those seals down somewhat. If you squeeze them in there and they compress somewhat, that'll give you a decent seal inside of, you know, for where the valve goes through. Obviously the bucket is round, the seal is flat, so is the nut and the valve body, so you have to, you know, make up that curve that you're putting the valve through. So you just need to tighten it up to a decent point. So at this point here, let's see, anything else I should cover on this photo? Like on this particular bucket, this scale that's on here, like I said, it has, you know, 1 through 5 gallons. And around a little bit further around on the bucket, it'll just have the same scale, only it'll have, at the appropriate places, it'll have it marked in, you know, number of liters of capacity. So let's go ahead and do this now. We'll go ahead and close this particular tab, and that will return us to our original page. And let's see here. It looks like we've got, right around 20 minutes into the time here. Maybe it's a little bit more. We're almost to the 25-minute point. So I think perhaps at this point in time, I should probably go ahead and do a commercial and maybe some music. So with that said, let's go ahead and do that. And then once we complete that, we'll go ahead and I'll talk a little bit more about the valve to the bucket, and we will continue on from there.
That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Byard Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byard Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byard Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByardBarrels.com. That's BYERBarrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
hurricanes, tornadoes, western firestorms, earthquakes, financial collapse, government upheaval. What happens when Walgreens closes? Whom do you turn to? You turn to Kat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, on the Medi-Chat and learn how combat medicine and alternative herbal remedies can help keep you going no matter what. The Medi-Chat, live 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Okay, so we've got a couple of our station breaks out of the way here, and I also had a piece of music in there. And that particular piece of music was called Water. It was done by Wine and Spirits. Figured we'd go ahead and just use a little something in there that was kind of applicable to what we're talking about. We got our bucket there that... we'd be putting water in that we'd be using for doing some brewing of some sort. So let me go ahead and say this, just as a little bit more of a station breaker ID for those who might have just tuned in. You're listening to the Tinker's Shop here on Just Measures Radio, and tonight we're talking about common tools that are used in brewing. Okay, so now we're at the halfway point here of the evening, and I think we're doing fairly well. So if we go ahead back to our original page here, the Brewing Tools page, go ahead and if you're not there already, go ahead and go on down to the close-up shot here of our spigot or our valve. And this way you can see a little bit more of the details on it. As you can see, that's how we'd mounted it in the bucket with the gasket in there, the seal. And so that's how it works. And this at the bottom end there, that's just a little over quarter inch diameter, ridged output on there that you can put a plastic hose on to drain from the one bucket into, if you're going to put it into another bucket or a large bottle for clarification, this is what you would use. You'd put a hose on there and you could actually drain it. Obviously, in other buckets, you could use a siphon hose, and those can get a bit messy. And let me do this. I got to fix something here, so hold on just one moment. Okay, I had to pause my recording there for just a few seconds here. I realized that my microphone was setting just right to where my beard was, brushing on, and I was getting kind of a scratchy noise there in the background. If that was messing up anybody's hearing, I do apologize, but I try and do these things as clean as I can, so that way then it's a little bit easier on the ears to listen with. Okay, so going back to our photo here. Like I said, we've got the portion of the valve there that's ridged. It's so you can slide a hose on there and so it doesn't slip off. The other part there's up above, you can see a little hole in the side of that. Again, that's for being able to drain out the valve. When you have the valve turned off, like it is in this photo, that will allow a little bit of air to go down into the hose that you have attached to it to drain out, so you don't have a mess. To open the valve, you just basically turn it, between 90 and 180 degrees. Looking at it from the top would be clockwise. To open the valve up and so you can start your flow. And again, it's not a all or nothing type thing like a ball valve is. well, actually, ball valve, you can control it too, but depending on, you know, if you turn it 90 degrees, you're going to start getting a good flow through there. If you turn it all the way, it's going to be fully open and much faster to drain through. And again, to turn it off, you turn it back the other way. Again, like I said before, it's not rocket science. And I probably go a little bit too much into detail, but I like to explain why and how these things work. Okay, so go ahead and scroll down a little bit more. And you're going to see, the next item here, I have a lid with grommet installed. And then right below that, I have where it has, grommet close up. And again, it's kind of hard to see on there, but I'll go ahead and explain it. The way these grommets work, it can be used for several things when you're doing brewing. Okay, this lid here, this is just a common, lid that goes on like a 4 to 5 gallon plastic bucket. And obviously, under normal circumstances, when you clamp one of these onto a bucket, you have an airtight seal because around on the lid on the underside, you have a gasket in there. It's like a huge O-ring or a rubber band type thing. But if you're doing brewing, you don't need to have that tight a seal. And as a matter of fact, you wanted to, if you're brewing something inside there, if you would take a bucket, fill it full of your wort or a juice or whatever, put your yeast in there, and if you'd clamp the lid on, that thing would blow itself apart, in very short order. So you need some way of relieving the pressure. And one thing I didn't get in here was a picture of an airlock. That's what's normally used in either a large bottle or a carboy. The airlock will go through like a cork and be stuck into the neck of a carboy. But also that same sort of airlock, they'll usually be just a little over a quarter inch diameter at the base of it. And it kind of looks like a funnel with the neck sticking up in it. And then it'll be open at the top. And with these airlocks, they'll also have a second piece to them that will drop down inside. And when you're using one of those, either in a carboy or on a bucket, they'll be inserted either through the cork or through a grommet. And that's what we're talking about here. And the way the grommet is installed is basically just slightly under a half inch diameter hole is drilled into the top of your bucket or your lid. Of course, it depends on the grommet that you get. But these are basically it's a rubber or neoprene grommet that basically looks like, it basically looks like a donut. Yeah, but that donut has a groove in all the way around the outside. And what's done is, once you have the appropriate size hole drilled through the top of the bucket, this gets, pushed in, and that groove in the grommet bridges around the edge of the hole that's drilled in the bucket. At that point, your airlock can be pushed into that hole, and that will give you a good seal. Another thing that this grommet is used for, like I said, it's good for putting the airlock in for when you're fermenting, beer or wine. But also the airlock, the way it works is when you're fermenting, beer or wine, it's assembled, like I'd said, it's pushed through the grommet and you put a little bit of liquid, either distilled water or you can even use like a little bit of, Everclear or vodka or something. It'll keep outside air from getting in. The pressure will build up inside the bucket, and it'll pressurize this little cylinder that you drop in. It'll lift that up until air, or the carbon dioxide will bubble out past that through the liquid. If it ever gets too cool and it sucks some air back in, again, it'll have to go through the alcohol mixture or the water, and it'll help clean it somewhat to help keep molds and yeasts out from your bucket. Like I was saying, there's another way that this airlock can be used as well. Say, for example, when you're starting a brew, like I said, normally, like in one of these large brew buckets, you'll have like 5 gallons in there. You can also sometimes, slip a little bit extra in there, bring it up closer to 6. That's going to reduce your head space in the bucket. So when you start fermenting, you're going to get some foam building up in there from when the yeast is working. And at first, that's going to want to bubble out. So if you just have a straight airlock on there, it's going to, bubble out through your water or your sterilizing mixture around the lid, and then you can get a mess on top of your bucket. So usually what I do for the first day or two of either brewing beer or wine is I go ahead and I put a hose on the inside nipple, inside the airlock. Take a piece of hose, probably, I usually use about 3 foot or so. And I bring that down, and I'll actually stick that into a empty wine bottle, which, put a little bit of liquid in, again, for the same purpose. If it wants to suck some air back into the bucket for some reason or other, the water in the bottle will, help sterilize it a little bit. And if there's any foam that wants to blow off from the bucket, it'll come up through the hose and into the bottle. And if I actually have one that's generating a lot of foam, I'll quite often just take that bottle and set it either in a bucket or a saucepan or whatever. It's kind of my old belt and suspenders type of thing. Anyway, once you're fermentation gets going along a little better and settled down, there's not any foam coming out. At that point, you can go ahead and take the plastic hose off, put a little bit of your sterilizing liquid into the airlock, put your cap on, and then you just basically run until your fermentation is almost complete. Okay, next picture down here, and again, this is some other things that, kind of come in handy. This next picture down is of a 6-gallon carboy, which is just basically a really large jug. Now, most people are probably familiar with seeing these as being filled with water, like in a water fountain. I know back... what is it now? Probably 25 or 30 years ago, my wife and I, we used to live up in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And up there, it was actually necessary to get bottled water because I think it was, for 2 or 3 summers in a row, the water from the city was not fit for human consumption. They just put it out. They just said, don't drink the water unless you boil it. They had a large algae problem in the lake there that summer. And so what we had were these large, they started out as glass, and then they switched to the polycarbonate plastic bottles. It was a 5-gallon water jug. And that's basically what a carboy is. It's either 5 or 6 gallon either glass or plastic bottle, like to see water come in. You can also get the other carboys that are more of a European design, was more of a, I guess you could call it like a upside down tulip shape. Same thing. I actually brought a couple back from Europe with me that were like, let's see, what would they hold? I think it was 25 liters, which was what? That translates out to about, what? About 7 or 8 gallons. So, but they, again, they all have about the same size neck. And like I'd said, you can use a fermentation lock in there. And you know, a lot of the scientific supply stores, brewer stores, even hardware stores, you can find large rubber corks that have, you know, a hole that's bored through it, you know, roughly a quarter inch diameter. Again, you can put your fermentation lock into that and then, you know, stick it in the top of the bottle. Works quite well. You know, like the joke used to be in the military, works fine, lasts a long time. They do. I still have some corks that I bought back in, oh, what was it, 1978, 1979? So they're what, almost 35 years old. You know, a couple of the corks are starting to get a little bit ratty, so yeah, I don't use them anymore. I'd bought some newer ones along the way. Okay, next item down. Something that's fairly useful. And again, I'd mentioned it before, and this is not super necessary. It's just as a works really good as a convenience. Like I said, with beer bottles, if you are recycling beer bottles, and actually, after the first time you use them, if you buy new ones, you know, they'll come clean. That they just basically just need a really good rinsing out to make sure they're clean. Or if you, you know, recycle your beer bottles, this is a thing that'll actually screw onto like a kitchen sink, onto the faucet there. It's two parts. I'll see here. Do I have that where we can? Nope, I don't have it where we can blow it up. I'll have to go ahead and correct that later on. And I'll have a note on there where it can just say, you know, click for an enlarged view. And actually, if I get this done up in time, I can probably go ahead and get that fixed for this evening. And so if you do see it at one, on the website here where it has a note on there, you know, click for a large image, you'll be able to do it. Okay, so if we kind of look at this close here, you're going to see that this is kind of like a J-shaped type thing. This is a bottle fountain. And that brass fitting that you see on there, that's actually the same size like what you'd see for a garden hose. So actually, or an outside faucet on a house or a building. So, you know, you could actually put it on something like that. There's also an adapter, and usually these things come with two or three different adapters for different size sinks. One side of the adapter will actually be of a size where you can screw that brass connector on. The other side, if you take off the aerator for your faucet, one of your adapters is going to be able to screw right up into there. You just take it, put it in, you know, finger tight so it's not going to leak. And then you can screw this on. And the way these things work is when you turn your water on, that's going to pressurize, and there's a little like pop that pops up that, you know, shuts the water flow off. So when your bottle's cleaned and you just want to rinse it out, you just push it down on that and it'll, you know, fountain up like a water fountain does. And it'll spray water all the way to the bottom of the bottle, which is, you know, upside down over it. And it just basically does a really good job of rinsing the bottle out. It's a very useful tool, and it's a lot easier than taking and filling each bottle of water individually from your tap, shaking it around, emptying it out, and putting another one in to rinse it out. This way it just blasts it clean, you know, of any water or any residue inside. So, like I said, it's a fairly functional tool. It's kind of nice. So at this point, let me go ahead here, and it looks like we're at about 48 minutes. So I think I'm going to go ahead and zip on down through the rest of this real quick. The next thing here on our list is the bottle filler. Now this first image is just, you know, kind of a distance shot. That is actually probably, about 12 inches or so long. It's, that would go on to, using a small chunk of hose, it'd go on to the output side of your spigot or your valve that's in a bucket. You know, one end of the hose would go on that, the other end of the hose would go on to the end of the clear section of the bottle filler. Obviously, once you have that put together like that, that's going to be hanging straight down. And so let's do this. I'm going to go ahead and hit this next portion here. This next image here is the valve end of the bottle filler. And again, if you go ahead and click on that, you're going to get a larger image. And it really doesn't look like all that much. But this white plastic body on here, it's basically it's like a cylinder that's neck down. And on the end there, you see like a second piece that's kind of sticking out. It's got like a little line there. That's actually a mobile valve seat. There's a spring inside of here that pushes that out, and it seals on this neck portion inside. Once you've got your hose and the bottle filler, you know, hanging down, you turn your valve open on your bucket, and that tube will fill up, and it shouldn't run out. So what you do is, when you want to fill your bottle, you literally slide the bottle right up. The white end goes inside the bottle. You take it all the way to the bottom, and when you push up, that pushes that little nipple here on the end in. It opens it up and allows your beverage to flow into the bottle. And as soon as you bring the bottle down a little bit, the spring closes the valve and stops any more flowing. Okay, so next point here. If we go ahead down here, the next shot here again, if you click on that, it'll give you a larger image. And this is a hydrometer. This is used to measure the specific gravity or the density of your liquid that you're fermenting. The way it functions is you'll take a sample of your liquid that you're going to ferment, you put it inside the clear tube, and then this hydrometer is dropped gently into the tube, and it's going to float. And like this particular one on here, I just took a picture of the label or the tag that's inside there, and this one says that it's a triple scale beer and wine hydrometer. You know, it's basically used to do a specific gravity of 1.000 is basically pure water. So let's do this. If we go down to the next one here where I have hydrometer scale, go ahead and click on that image. And this just, you know, basically you can see the scale on here. This is for the specific gravity. Over here at the right end, you can see where there's the red zone, and it says 1.000. If that tube would be filled with water, this whole thing would sink down until the point where it would be right at the 1.000. That means pure water, nothing else in it. When you're brewing, like for example beer, the more sugars you have in your beer before you start brewing it, the higher this is going to ride up. And generally speaking, what's done is you have some different zones in here. You have like you know, a little yellow zone here towards the right that's, you know, less than 10%, which is where hopefully you'll end up with if you're brewing like a 3-5% beer. If you go over a little bit further to the left, you'll see a yellow zone that's running from 30 to 50. That's where your average light beer will be at for density, for sugars. If you get over a little bit further, you have starting at 60 and running up to 1.100. You probably don't ever want to go above 1.100 for beer brewing, because you're going to end up with a awfully sweet beer when you get done. I generally, when I'm brewing beer for, you know, my taste, I usually am somewhere between 60 and 70. If you start out with a specific gravity of 1.065, for example, and you let it ferment completely out, you'll end up somewhere around, it'll ferment out and you'll end up with a value somewhere around 1.010 to 1.013 or 15. If you have that much of a specific gravity difference between, say, like 65 and 15, what you're going to end up with a beer is probably in the roughly 7% to 9% alcohol range. And one of these weeks, I'm going to go ahead here and just kind of, you know, print up a chart here, or, you know, load up a chart here in the chat room that people can actually look at to get a little bit more of an idea of your percentages, and I'll also, you know, explain the calculations for it. Okay, so let's go ahead and close this tab, and we'll go back to our original page. Okay, here on the original page, again, like I said, you know, it's finally has down here at the bottom, I have one more shot that's a little bit closer, a shot showing, you know, like I said, the basically the beer brewing range in there. So now let's see here. I think we're probably pretty close to the end of the night here. So let me do this. I'll go ahead and wish you all a very good evening. Thank you for joining me here in the Tinker Shop tonight. Again, like I said before, this is the 8th of March of 2014. Had to get that in there just so people, if they catch the end of the show at some point, they'll know where to look for to hear the whole thing. So, again, like I said, thank you very much for joining me here tonight. God bless. Take care and have a very good week. And I'll go ahead here and close out with a little bit of music, and then after that we'll be going to the archives for the night. Take care, my friends.